For the first couple of weeks leading up to camp, or the last couple of months really, we have been talking about the five senses. Alright, how do we connect with God? What are areas of connection with regards to our senses? Okay, and today, for the next two Sundays, we're going to talk about smell. Okay, the final one. Alright, we've talked about, you know, sight, touch, hearing, taste. Taste was the most fun one, is it? today we're going to talk about smell. And all of us smell with our nose, huh? Sure, huh? Last night I did some Googling, okay? What you don't know, ask Mr. Google, right? So I went to Google and said what, you know, not said lah, I asked Mr. Google a little bit about our nose. And found out that our nose can pick up 1 trillion different senses. Now, I don't even know what that means. Medical person can confirm. 1 trillion different senses. Obviously we breathe through our nose. And the important thing about our nose, not only is that we breathe, but we can smell. Right? Smell is important for all of us, right? How many of you wish nose you don't smell anything? No. There was one point in my life. There was one point in my life where every day I would pass a garbage dump. You know, like literally pass a garbage dump. And I thought, if I don't have the sense of smell, right, life would be simple, right? Ruth is agreeing with me. Life would be so much more comfortable, you know, past garbage dump, no worries, you know, no sense of smell at all, you know. But then I begin to realize that there are so many other things that smell does to us that we really, really need. Our nose is so important. Do you know that our nose helps us to taste? Yeah. When we can't smell properly, we can't taste properly, right? That's why when, you know, you are having flu and all that, food doesn't taste that good, right? Simply because we can't smell properly. And I found out also that the nose helps us to hear properly. This one Mr. Google tell me one. Medical person, you better, you know. There apparently is some, you know, some tube or whatever it is that, you know, leads to about the ear area, which helps us in our balancing and helps us, you know, neutralize whatever pressure there is. Without the nose, you know, we will probably not hear as well. And I thought about, Lord, how am I going to speak about the nose? How am I going to speak about your smell? And the Lord reminded me that He is the one that actually delights in the fragrance of offerings. You look at the Old Testament, and you read this throughout Leviticus, you know, all the offerings and the sacrifices that were given. You know, the Lord tells the people that as you offer it, it is a sweet smell, a pleasing aroma. Some versions uses that. Some versions uses the word soothing, a soothing aroma unto the Lord. As the people were to offer sacrifices, you know, as they offer burnt offerings, as they offer grain offerings, as they make oils that were offered up to the Lord, it was, the Bible tells us, a pleasing aroma unto the Lord. We won't go into all the scripture, but I'd like us to think about that for a moment, okay? In the Old Testament, the people were required to come and to give sacrifices on a regular basis, and when the Lord saw those sacrifices, it was pleasing unto Him. What makes it that way? Today, the topic of today is you smell. Turn to your neighbor and say, you smell. Okay, you don't really know what that is. Some of you scared to say, God looks down and he's pleased when he smells. Do you know that we smell to God? So you're not sure. What makes the sacrifice pleasing unto the Lord? What makes it pleasing unto the Lord? The burnt offerings, when we were placed, when the fat was burned, every time the Bible tells us that when it was burned, it went up unto the Lord as a sweet smelling savor, a pleasing aroma. And in some versions, like I said, a soothing aroma unto the Lord. I'd like us to draw some lessons from the offerings. Number one, the burnt offering, the one that went up and the Lord, you know, looked down, took a sniff and said, smells nice. A burnt offering. The burnt offering is burnt whole. It is fire is used, okay? You can't burn anything with fire, right? Fire is used to consume, and whatever is burnt is then changed. Right? Whatever is burnt is changed. You cannot have its original form. The more you burn it, the more it's changed. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to be put on the altar, right? We need to be changed more and more and more and more and more and more to be like Christ. And therefore, we need to be burned more and more and more and more. The more we burn, the nicer the smell. The more you get burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit, right? The greater you will smell to God. Burnt offerings are burnt, are consumed. Nothing is taken back. Everything changes. Everything changes. And that's one thing, that's the first thing I'd like us to think about. As we think about smell, we smell to God. Let's ask ourselves this question, how do we smell to God? How do we smell to God? And I want to propose to us this. If we are not burnt, we don't smell good. If we are not burning, we are not smelling good. Let's look at another scripture. Okay, you can write this down. Those of you who are taking notes, Leviticus chapter 2, verse 2, 3, verse 5, 8, verse 11, all that talks about the burnt offering. And I know we've gone through this before, that's why I didn't turn to it. But let's look at Numbers. Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 17. We'll just read from verse 17. Or let's read from verse 12 just to get a little bit of context. Okay, this passage talks about, you know, the duties of the priests and the Levites, and you know how the people were to bring their offerings and sacrifices, and it was given to them, all right, to the priests. Verse 11. Let's go with verse 11. It's also yours. The contribution, their gifts, is the people, the wave offering of the people of Israel. Everything is given to them. I have given them to you, all right, the priests. And to your sons and your daughters with you as a perpetual due, everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. All the best of the oil, all the best of the wine, and of the grain, the first fruits give to of what they give to the Lord, I give to you the first ripe fruits of all that is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that opens the womb of all flesh, whether man or beast, whether man or beast, which they offer to the Lord shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall redeem, the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And their redemption price at the month old, you shall redeem them. You shall fix at 5 shekels of silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 geras. But, verse 17, the firstborn of a cow, or the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and shall burn their fat as a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But the flesh shall be yours. Now, the thing that I want to highlight here is this. We'll pause there for a moment. Go back and read the whole thing. All right? And have a greater understanding of this. All right? The thing is, you know, as the people offered the sacrifices, now, the priests, the Levites, they didn't have anything. They didn't have land. They didn't own anything. Okay? So as they offered the sacrifices, it was given to the Levites. Right? But one thing that they cannot take, that the firstborn they have to redeem. They have to purchase it, even though it was given as a sacrifice. But then the firstborn of all the what's this in verse 17, right? All the cow, the sheep, the goat, they cannot, it is to be burnt up, it is holy unto the Lord, it is to be offered unto the Lord, the firstborn. As we think about smell and what is given unto the Lord, burnt, the firstborn talks about the best, the first, right? And I just picked this scripture, there are many others, to ask ourselves this question. What are some of the firsts in our lives that we have that needs to be burnt up? Last weekend, or rather in CG, I was with the YA, and we were talking about what it means to put God first, right? What it means to surrender, what it really means to obey, what it means to be a disciple of the Lord. And we asked the question, what are some of the things that are important to us that perhaps we need to burn up? We need to give up. Firstborn, things that are important belongs to the Lord. If you read Exodus chapter 30, verse 22 onwards, you know, it talks about the finest things. That word appears there. The finest. Choose the finest because it belongs to the Lord. The other passage I'd like us to look at is Numbers chapter 28. Verse 28, and we read from verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, verse 2, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, command the people of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food, for my food offerings, my pleasing aroma, you shall be careful to offer to me at its appointed time. Numbers 28 talks about the offerings, begins with, you know, the daily offerings, the weekly offerings, then it goes on monthly offerings. You could read the whole chapter. It talks about the Passover offerings, and, you know, the different feasts and all that. But he begins by saying that the offerings that you are about to give, tell my people that they are to be careful. I like that word. And they are to be careful to offer it to me at its appointed time. Giving offerings to God is something that we need to be careful about. It's not just, you know, God, I have this, why, you know. You know, sometimes we say this, you know, we give God our loose change. But we plan with our money, we plan how to build a house, we plan how to buy a car, what car to buy, right? How much to spend on certain gadgets, how much to spend on certain things. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, we are not careful. Numbers 28 tells us that command the people. Verse 2, right? Command them. Tell them that my offering, the one that's going to be a pleasing aroma, that one, be careful. And be deliberate about its timing. Now in those days, you know, they had to offer daily, weekly offerings, yearly offerings, and then, you know, all the feasts, they have different offerings as well. For us today, we ask ourselves this, you know, how are we functioning as an offering? How are we careful about giving to God at His appointed time? I've heard so many cases of people come and say, yeah, God is doing this to me. God is calling this, but, you know, calling me to do this, calling, challenging me to, you know, give up this certain thing, but hang on for a while, lah. Wait for a while. We decide that our timing is more important than God's timing. We decide that we don't want to be so careful. So I say to us again, we smell to God. God looks down and takes a sniff. How are we burning? How are our lives a sacrifice, a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord? Romans chapter 12 reminds us of this, right? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto the Lord. Smell good. Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we read from verse 1. It says, verse 1, Ephesians 5, 1. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Verse 2. And walk in love as Christ loved us. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Christ, Paul tells us in Ephesians, Christ was a fragrant, a pleasing aroma, or a soothing aroma, offered up unto the Lord. And we need to walk in love because we need to imitate Christ. We need to imitate Christ. And our lives need to be a fragrant offering. We need to smell good. We need to smell good. We need to be that pleasing aroma unto the Lord. So two things today. Number one, we smell to God. How we live our lives. How we walk. How much we are burnt, quote unquote, so to speak, at the altar affects, to a certain extent, you know, God's facial expression, if you know what that means. If you walk past a garbage dump, your facial expression will change, right? To a certain extent. Why? Because, you know, of the stench that is there. But if you walk to a room that is pleasant, that's, you know, nice smell, your facial expression also changes. So let me ask us this question, you know, when God looks at us, when He walks past us, so to speak, how is His facial expression? We smell to God. Secondly, we smell to others. We smell to others. Philippians chapter 4. And this is Paul telling the Philippians, you smell. Philippians chapter 4. And we read from verse 14. So he writes about God's provision. He says, you know, before that he says, I thank God that even in my need, you know, he has sustained me, right? That he's always been there. But in verse 14, it says this, you know, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So Paul is basically saying that, hey, you know, when I was in ministry, it's Ella, but you guys, even in Thessalonica, verse 16, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. When the Philippians, the Christians in Philippi, begin to give and offer and sacrifice, what did Paul say? You have become a pleasing offering. Sweet aroma. One that is pleasing to the Lord. A fragrant offering. The things that we do to others, how we serve one another, how we give our gifts, as shown in Philippians, how we give our gifts affects the other person. And the Lord looks down, as Paul says, and he says, he is pleased with the fragrance. One last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are that aroma. We are that fragrance of Him everywhere. When you walk to a room and the room smells nice, you know, a lot of times you go to a hotel or, you know, you go to a new place, you walk in, you're like, ah. And when it smells nice, you want to hang around, you want to, you know, jump on the bed and, you know, stay a little longer. Yes. Noses, your smell, what you smell, decides whether you want to hang around longer or not. When we smell nice, you take a bath, you smell nice, you know, put on some cologne or perfume or whatever that you put, right? You smell nice. When you smell nice, other people smell it. It's not only for me. You spray, yeah, I smell nice, I don't care how you smell, you know. No. When you smell nice, other people smell it too. When you smell bad, in the same way, other people smell it too. When you smell bad, you smell like a rubbish dump. What naturally people will do is that people will stand to stay away, right? And so, we ask this question, how do we smell, not only to God, but to other people that are around us? You know, many times we can say, yeah, I want to, you know, just obey God and follow God, hide myself in the mountain and just read the Bible, and don't do anything. But hey, we are called to be the fragrance of all those that are around us, right? We are the aroma. We are the ones that people that are around us say, you know what, I want to hang around with these guys. Why? Because they smell good. Right? And why do you smell good? Because the presence of God. We carry the presence of God. Because we are serving, we are giving, just like the Philippian Christians were serving and giving to Paul. So you want to smell good? Ask ourselves this question. How often, how long are we on the altar? How deliberate are we in taking time to offer ourselves to God because we smell to God? Not only do we smell to God, we smell to other people as well. And how we connect to others, how we serve one another, how we bless one another, how we give our time, our resources, our energy to one another determines how they smell us. This is the year of connection. And we talked about connecting with God. We talked about our senses. What does it mean? Each one of us are naturally drawn to what we smell. Huh? Especially during lunchtime and dinner time. In a short while, there'll be dinner and some of us decide what to eat by our noses. Yeah? Some of us decide by what we see lah. So you walk to the restaurant, they have nice pictures there. And sometimes, how many of you have gone to a restaurant, look at the pictures and say, I want to eat this. You don't even know what it is, you know. I want to eat this because it looks good, right? We choose by what we see. Some of us choose by what we smell. We walk around and say, oh, that smells good, I decide to eat that. Yes, sir. If we are drawn by what we smell, how much do you think God is drawn to us when we smell that aroma? I believe that, you know, the Lord says that when we draw near to God, He draws near to us, right? Draw near to God, James tells us that, and He will draw near to us. Just as we are drawn to that which smells good, I believe that God is also drawn to us when we smell good. So we need to ask this question today. How do we smell? Earlier on during our prayer time, we sang this song, day and night, night and day. Let incense arise, right? Day and night, night and day, maybe we should sing this song again, right? Let incense arise. Now today, we don't have, you know, burnt offerings. We don't have altars. All that is gone, done with when Christ came. So why do we sing such a song? Let incense arise. What's that incense? Have you thought about that? What is it that God is looking to smell when we come together and worship Him? When we come together collectively and say, God, this is the church. This is your church. In the Old Testament, there was the offerings. There was the worship, there was the singing, which we have. We still do that. There was the offerings, there was the burning, there was the, you know, the incense that was going up. What's that today? What does it mean when God looks down and says, this is such a soothing aroma that reaches up to my throne? What are we burning? It's our lives. It's each and every one of us. We come in with a smell, a fragrance. Each of us, when we walk in, we come in with that smell. And collectively, that smell goes up to the Lord. Collectively, that smell affects one another. So today, let's dig deep and ask ourselves, how do we smell? How do we smell to God? How do we smell to one another? Because you smell. You definitely smell, you and I. But how we smell affects everybody else, affects our relationship with God. Let's bow our heads right now. Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would dig deep into our hearts right now. Dig deep, Lord. We ask for your revelation right now, personally to each one of us. Father, we want to know how we smell. Forgive us, Lord, for the times, perhaps it is now, you know, many times that we don't even realize how we smell. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, even like in the natural, you know, someone has to tell us we need to go take a bath. Someone needs to tell us we need to go wash our feet. Lord, we pray right now that if we are not smelling the way we should smell, you would prompt us, you would tell us which are the areas in our lives that doesn't smell good. And Lord, that we would be obedient to change. We would be obedient to take a bath. We would be obedient to be burnt up. Father God, we want to smell good. We want our lives to reach out as a sweet, soothing aroma into your presence. Help us to do just that, Lord. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.